WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
Today we have a live concert with the jazz pianist that many agree is the best there is when it comes to interpreting songs, Dave McKenna. Jazz critic Dan Morgenstern writes that McKenna's singular artistry covers the whole vocabulary of piano, from stride to bop. New Yorker jazz critic Whitney Balliot called Dave McKenna the hardest swinging jazz pianist of all time. But Balliot pointed out this paradox. Quote, McKenna plays the piano with supreme authority, but considers himself a barroom pianist, unquote. For the past 9 years, McKenna has performed nightly at an elegantly appointed bar in Boston's Copley Plaza Hotel. Summers he performs on Cape Cod. He has close to a dozen recent solo and small group albums on the Concord Jazz record label, and CBS Records just reissued a session of his from the late 1950s. If you're a regular listener to Fresh Air, you've heard excerpts from many of McKenna's records between segments on our show. And I have to tell you that this is a concert we've been hoping to present for a long time. Dave McKenna, welcome to Fresh Air. It's a complete pleasure to have you here.
Thanks, Terry.
And I'd like to ask you to introduce the first song you'd like to play.
Okay, this is a tune by Deetson Schwartz called By Myself.
That's beautiful. You know, I especially like hearing you perform solo. And I think the reason is that your sense of rhythm is so strong. It's like you're accompanying yourself. And I just assume not hear anybody with you so I can hear completely what it is you're doing. And I was wondering if you especially like playing solo.
Well, of course, it's the way I make my living now. But it's fun to play with a band. I don't, the bass piano duo thing or the piano trio thing doesn't work with me because it's that in-between thing. I don't think I ever got that down. But I really love playing with bass and drums and a horn or two, you know, trumpet and saxophone and some, a guitar, too. I love that. But I play a different way then. And it's just, it really is fun. But anything less than four pieces, I'd rather be alone, I think. Because I can, it's great working with good bass players, and there are plenty of them now. and drummers, but this way I can change tempo. I'd have to work with a bass player for years and just change tunes, you know, and when you play solo, a lot of it is just killing time, killing the clock.
You think so?
Yeah.
Oh, one more question before we get to the next song. That was just called By Myself, what you just played. And uh-huh. I think of you as having gone by yourself in a way of being a bit of a loner, playing, you know, for long stays in a supper club or in a hotel and having lots of people come to you, and you have a home base, which is something very few people in jazz have the luxury of.
Yeah, I've really been lucky that way. I avoided a lot of traveling, although I like to do a certain amount. I still get on the road some. And maybe we'll get on the road considerably more soon. I don't know.
Would you play another song for us?
Sure.
Was Yours Is My Heart Alone, performed live by pianist Dave McKenna. When you're playing a song, do you usually know the lyrics to it?
Well, I didn't used to know. I don't think I know the words to one song all the way through. But, you know, I do like to listen to singers, and bits and pieces of the words come back to me. And it's nice when you know a few. I think it
does
really
it help
makes
with
you,
the interpretation?
I think so. I think it helps play, helps you to play the melody better.
Mm-hmm.
But I do remember a few of the words now. Never used to.
Do you like to learn a song from just hearing it or from sheet music?
I'm a bad sight reader. I just rather hear it, yeah, from somebody. The trouble is now that, to hear a song, I don't learn many new songs, to tell you the truth, because there are a lot of good rock songs and a few top 40 things, but they need guitars or singers or something. There aren't many tunes that really sound good on the piano that are being written now. But I suppose there are a few, and once in a while, somebody asks me to learn something, so I get the sheet music. But even then, I'd rather hear somebody play it or sing it before I play it.
I'm going to ask you to play another song. You want to do Sweet Lorraine?
Yeah.
Sweet Lorraine, performed for us live by Dave McKenna. You know, I want to ask you, I know that for the past 9 years or so, you've been at the Copley in a very elegant bar there. A lot of times when people go into a bar, they're pleased that there's music, but they don't necessarily know the first thing about music or the first thing about what they're hearing, and they might talk while the musician is playing. How does that affect you when people are talking and you're playing?
That's cool. It's such a comfortable situation. The Copley, most people who come in the room aren't coming in to hear me because a lot of them are convention people or from the hotel. And they're just in for a drink in nice surroundings. And so it's not a concert, and I don't expect in many cases, it's easier playing because I can, I just play lightly and fiddle around and play. If you think of what I'm going to play next, there's no pressure. I could play quietly a good part of the night, and I usually come up a little bit in volume at the end of a set to let them know I'm near, that I've been working. And some nights people listen, and a lot of times they don't, but essentially it's a background music gig, really. And I had 9 years or so, and I like staying in Boston. It was a nice stay at the hotel. It's walking distance from brought anything in town, including the ballpark, and everything's handy in that city. You know,
I saw you perform once at a club in Cape Cod, and the room was filled. You were staring off into space, not intentionally, I thought, not making eye contact with anybody, you know, just focused on nothing in particular, but obviously very, very focused, but really avoiding people's
eyes.
Was
that the Capitol and L House?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Well, that was that's a nice place, and for years, the family, great friends of mine, they're wonderful people, the Lumens that ran it, but that gig, people did listen a lot there.
Oh, yeah, no,
it was like
quiet.
A concert. And,
but
I mean,
it seemed to
me
you just didn't want to see anybody.
Some nights were noisy. Well, yeah, when
you're
playing in those circumstances and everybody's listening, how they say, I'm saying, I say, oh, gee, how am I going to fill up an hour if these people are listening intently? So when I'm looking off into space, I'm thinking of medleys to play, things that'll wind the clock down, you know? I really am.
Well, I don't fully understand. Yeah,
getting things together to play. You know?
Uh-huh. It amazes me that you're worried about people listening intently.
Well, no, I'm not worried about it. I'll play. But you have to work harder then.
Right, I see. Okay. All right. Well, we're going to take a short break, and then we'll continue the concert. My guest is one of the very great jazz pianists, Dave McKenna, who's based in Boston and Cape Cod and is joining us for a live concert today. More after the short break. This is Fresh Air. Well, why don't we get back to the concert? Let's see. I think next you're going to play Sea Jam Blues.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Oh, great. Do you plan out what you're going to play at all before you play it? Plan out, I don't mean the improvisation, but just the tempo you're going to play at, what your basic concept for a song or a piece is going to be.
Well, really kind of vaguely, because I didn't really know what tempo I was going to play that. But that change of key, I did that on record, changing the keys, because I thought maybe a feeble attempt to be clever. If it's C Jan, it means the key. And so I changed it to E flat for one 12 bars chorus and one to G flat or F sharp, whatever that is, and one in A, up in minor thirds, and ending back in C. So that was a little game. So I do use that whenever I play that, a little change of key at the end.
You know, sitting right next to you at the piano, I'm really watching your hands carefully, and you have such a strong left hand when I hear your records. And your left hand is almost gently approaching the keyboard. I mean, you don't seem to be exerting yourself with your left hand at all.
Huh. When I try
to
play
stride,
I do. I try to work hard. I'm not really adept. I can play, if I play it with some strength, then it gets kind of sloppy. I came to stride piano late. I only use it for a few bars at a time, but that's real work. I stand in awe of those guys that play it all the time, you know. Ralph Sutton, Dick Wellstone.
Yeah.
They really play it hard and accurately, you know.
Is accurate hard when you're playing stride?
Yeah, I think so. Because they've been playing it a long time. You know, some guys made a specialty of it, and their whole career was based on that. You know, the older guys, Fats and James P., those are the guys that invented it, I guess. But as far as the walking bass, that sort of just playing bass notes, that just seemed to come naturally to me, and it's not much exertion required there.
Were you self-taught, or was there a pianist who studied carefully with?
I had lessons from my first teachers were the nuns and parochials. I went to my mother's a real good musician, though. She played piano and violin, but she didn't want to teach, so she sent me the nuns, and I didn't really like to practice, but I could always pick tunes out that I heard on the radio and always played by ear, it seems, since I was about 7 years old. So I had a couple of good teachers, a guy in Boston, Sandy Sanford, who was a jazz musician of sorts. I mean, he was a good jazz player, but he made his living writing showbiz charts for the singers around Boston. But he didn't, I was 16 or so by the time I went to him, and he didn't really fool with the way I played. He just made a few suggestions into how to organize it. And he said, why don't you make a little arrangement of this? And the lessons were kind of spotty because I was still living in my parents' house, and I didn't get up there often. But he had some nice suggestions anyway.
We're going to have time for one more song, and can I make a request?
Yeah.
Would you play Thanks for the Memory?
Of course. Thank you.
was great. Do you have a good musical memory? Do you know lots and lots and lots of songs?
I think I knew quite a few. I'm not one of the champions, though. Guys like Jimmy Rolls, I don't know how many, Men of a Thousand Tunes. But I knew quite a few, and it doesn't seem, though, as if I've been adding to the repertoire lately. I don't learn too many new songs. But a lot of the tunes I've been playing, I think I've known since I was 12 years old. That's not one of them, though. I never realized I liked the tune until, I don't know, I heard somebody do it, and that's when I came upon fairly late. Although I'd heard of it, you know, being a Bob Hope theme and all.
Well, I want to thank you so very much for joining us for this concert. It's really been a pleasure to have you here. And I want to say you've helped me hear a lot of songs in fresh ways through your interpretations of them. So thank you. Thank you very much for all your playing and for doing the concert today.
Thank you, Terry. I enjoyed it.
Dave McKenna has many records on Concord Jazz. His latest is No More Uzo for Puzo. On June 24th, after more than 9 years, he'll end his engagement at the Copley Plaza Hotel in Boston. And he'll do some touring so audiences around the country will have a chance to see him perform. I'm Terry Gross, and this is Fresh Air.